D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, at 5:18, a special emergency edition of the Trifecta, where we discuss those who have recently passed on, and today we moved it up a day in the batting order because Ozzy Osbourne has passed away. It's a big one. And rather than going through the ceremony, we will assume that the vote will not be terribly suspenseful. As it's one of those names in the Babe Ruth category where even if you don't have any idea what he's done, you know the name Ozzy Osbourne. It's and I think this cuts across generations. I would imagine it doesn't matter how really old you are. Assuming you're at least 10, you have heard of Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're looking at almost everybody to a man from the age of 15 on, and maybe younger, has at the very least heard of him. And that is a huge compliment to any celebrity, that they're just known.
Right.
You can go from how wildly popular and successful they were in whatever genre they were, but if you just say the name, that's the ultimate compliment in the celebrity of someone, where you have basically 70 years of people that say, yes, I know who that guy is, or I've heard of him.
Yeah, and so I don't know how we want to speak of his body of work or anything like that, but we do have the Catman in here who is certainly an expert in this genre. I will also say, as the Baptist in this genre, I was definitely subjected to the war on music as a lad, and you know, I feel like I was fighting back, perhaps as a contrarian in the private school ranks, that everything that's wrong in the world can be traced back to rock music.
Yeah.
But on the pyramid of who's most ruining the world, Ozzy Osbourne was fed to us as, okay, we admit he's not actually Satan, but he is so much the tip of the spear in what is wrong with secular music, and that's how I was introduced to his work, and so I've worked backwards the entire way, and I would just say that in retrospect, I'm amused at basically that entire premise.
Ozzy took what Alice Cooper did in the 70s with glam rock and even David Bowie to a lesser extent, and he cranked it to 11, literally. He has the Alamo issue. He had the biting the head off a bat. But in his shows, he hung a midget. He beheaded a person. He put himself on an album cover with jello-looking vomit coming out of his mouth. He had the devil tattoo. So this act and this Prince of Darkness persona, to his credit and Sharon's credit, his manager, he took all that and just ramped it up because that's what got him popular. Now, the fact is that his music as a member of Black Sabbath and as a solo artist after that was also extremely credible, helped, but everything, the sideshow around it, and there's artists like that all the way through this time period now that kind of take that page, but that certainly did it. And we were talking about the PMRC earlier, starting in the 80s. He was definitely one of the faces of that group. And so that helped too. But, you know, he cuts across everything. And what he means to the genre, as we were saying in the last segment, is without him and without Black Sabbath, all these other bands, Metallica and all the ones that we've mentioned, don't even have a career without them and without him starting this.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, like I saw when I first heard this earlier this morning, Jeff, you sent me a note, and then a bunch of people did, and then I got like the CNN alert, and they said Ozzy Osbourne, metal icon and reality TV show star.
Yep.
And I'm like, I almost feel like those should be separated because he helped change music,
right,
literally.
Right.
And then he was on a reality TV show. But the thing is...
But he had zero relevance when that TV show hit the air.
Yeah.
Like, his music career was over, and that helped revive his music career.
But wasn't it funny, though, when the reality show did come out, the people that were, whether it was our parents or whether it was us as, you know, 30-year-olds or whatever, that we looked at him in such a different light than we ever did.
Well, I think there's a huge swath of society that had absolutely no exposure to Ozzy Osbourne except what, quote, you were told about him.
Yeah.
Or the perception. Again, I will go back to my background. I certainly knew Crazy Train and a few other things that he had done that I liked. But for the most part, the reality show, like, put a personality with the name and made you kind of see him in a totally different light. So you're right.
Well,
but I also think it's important for, like, a worldwide viewing of a guy that people deep in the genre knew all about him. People who just were, you know, casuals, for a number of reasons, had a number of layers of perception added.
Yeah, it humanized this demonic demigod.
Yes, that's right.
This is the Prince of Darkness?
Yeah, right. See, yeah, exactly. You can't even order soft serve.
Yes.
Yeah, you go from, oh my God, this is the guy who bites heads off of live bats to, oh, he can't even open a DVD.
Right.
Yeah.
No, the most evil man in the world is actually just like my grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the shocking thing to me today was, okay, as a person aware of Ozzy and aware of what's been going on, he's been suffering from Parkinson's and he hasn't really performed since 2018. You know this day is coming, but the thing that made it most shocking is that it's today. Because 3 weeks ago when they had the Black Sabbath farewell show at Aston Villa, and I watched pretty much every minute of it, and as just an objective, well-informed music fan, Ozzy was great. I mean, Axl Rose was terrible that
yeah.
day, for example. Ozzy did 4 songs solo, and then he came back and did 5 solo and 4 with Black Sabbath with a break in between. And granted, he's sitting in his throne. He can't stand. But as he sang and performed and his energy, he was great. And so to think now, 3 weeks later, he's gone, it's just that's the part that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around. Just like, okay,
yeah,
I knew it was coming.
What kind of rapid decline was
this?
Right.
It also makes me feel like, what happened at that show? Did he just have every kind of B12 vitamin and energy drink, and they got him ready to go, and he performed? And then the other thing you hear about people that are in this condition, elderly folks with underlying medical conditions, is he did achieve this great thing. Everything in the last 6 months or a year was pointed to this show. And he did it. And it was well received. You talked about how much money they raised for charity. And he
yeah.
got a huge warm hug from the entire industry, the entire heavy metal community, his fans. And so after that's over, it's almost like, oh, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
I've accomplished this last thing in my life. He wrote a book that hasn't come out yet. And so at that point, maybe it's like your body gives in and you kind of just mentally realize, okay, I'm done. I achieved this thing. I'm good.
It's like when an elderly couple, one spouse dies and then the other one dies shortly after. It's like their purpose is gone.
Right.
Well, I think, too, with the uniqueness of Ozzy, whether you're a fan or not, is to look at the different eras of Ozzy.
Yep.
Whether it was, you know, Black Sabbath and, you know, it didn't take long for Black Sabbath to break up or kick him out of the band. And the Reclamation solo project, that a lot of that was Sharon-based.
It was. Sharon, literally, Sharon saved his life
yeah.
physically and launched his solo career, which made him larger and bigger, especially at that time, than Black Sabbath ever was
ever.
Up until that point. Now, looking back on it, Black Sabbath is seen for what it is,
yeah.
but it was more underground then.
Yeah, well, and just his legacy as a mentor for the most iconic shredders,
yes.
you know, the guitarists of the 80s.
Yes, he found
Randy Rose yes. and
Zakk Wylde.
Zakk Wylde.
And Jake E. Lee.
Yeah.
And Jake E. Lee performed at the show as well, and he was great. And so, but Sharon is a divisive figure because she has been known as someone who really pushed Ozzy into doing these things and only concerned with money and all that. But if it wasn't for Sharon, he wouldn't have had his life and his solo career. But she's also at least partly, if not significantly, responsible for the Osbournes TV show and for launching Ozfest, which was huge, and this show. And so she has helped him get there. And you can say all that you want about her and all those business relationship that they had. But the fact was, is they had this family, and they were married for all this time, and they were side by side together with those kids all the way until now, the very end. And that speaks, regardless of what we all think on the outside looking in, that speaks to everything to me.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And again, it goes against stereotype
yep.
for people that just think that he literally was the devil. But again, all that died, I think, 25 years ago when the TV show started. And you're like, oh my God, this guy is just like anyone else.
And Ozfest is part of his legacy, too, because I was looking back and there was a bunch of them from the late 90s all the way through the aughts. And I went to many of them, maybe eight. And it was always Ozzy would headline or a reunited Black Sabbath or whatever was happening that year. But if you go back through and look at all the bands that performed as support or side stage performers that have now gone on and had these own huge careers, Ozzy and Sharon built that and
yeah.
gave these bands their start. And again, there's things you can learn about the way they did business and the way they handled Ozfest and this and that. But the fact remains is they went out with that show every single year with 10 or 12 or 15 bands that many of them either got their start or went to a different level going from the side stage to the main stage to direct support on that festival.
So on the drug thing, I mean, he was a horrible alcoholic and a horrible drug addict, all of that. But
he was actually very good at it.
At levels
right.
of, are we talking about historically insane,
yes.
crazy?
Just like Keith Richards or anybody else, the drinking, the heroin, the cocaine,
yeah.
all of it, and just can't get out of his own way, can't stop. A million times where he got sober and then relapsed until finally, you know, it just starts adding up and you get older. And I think it's been since the early aughts that it's finally stuck to some level to where he just could not do it anymore because his body would
yeah.
just break down and he would have been dead 20, 25 years ago. But yes, historic drug addict and alcoholic.
Yeah.
At that level.
Which, again, the fact that he got out of the 70s.
Yeah.
And then somehow got out of the 80s. I mean, all of it, the accumulation of what he did to that body to live to 76. Like we joke about Keith Richards.
Right.
I don't think Keith did half of what, maybe not for the long period of time.
Yeah.
Keith was bad in the 70s and tried to get his act together. But Ozzy did it for 30 years, 35 years, and lived to 76.
Yeah.
With all these different, and he never stopped.
No.
He never really did. As far as like, you know, doing his thing. It's crazy. And tragedy left and right, you know?
Yeah, tragedy with Randy Rhoads, his first guitarist, that's a, you know, would be arguably on the Mount Rushmore of guitar shredders from,
yeah.
you know, hard rock and heavy metal, and lost him in a plane crash in 1982, but kept the show on the road and kept going and found another guy who is now an icon and then another guy who's now an icon, and it's really pretty remarkable.
So the Randy Rhoads plane crash, it was right when Ozzy was starting
yes.
his solo career, right?
Yes, it was 1982.
Okay, and was it true that he and the bus driver were in the plane? I guess the bus driver was also a pilot, and they were buzzing the bus.
Yes, you have it correct. It was the pilot and Randy Rhoads were flying around. Ozzy and the other guys were on the bus, and they were buzzing the bus, buzzing around the venue and all that, and crashed and died. And within, I don't know the exact timeline, but it would be a week or two, and they kept that show on the road.
Jeez.
And the person that they got to fill in for Randy Rhoads is named Brad Gillis, who is on this record called Speak of the Devil, which is a live record.
Wait,
that's
Brad
fantastic.
Gillis was...
Brad Gillis is from Night Ranger.
Yeah, Night Ranger, yes.
So, you know, once again, another guy who they just pulled out. No one had ever heard of the guy before. And then he goes and they ended up putting the show together and he learned all that stuff and just a shredder in his own right and killed it on that show. No pun intended.
Well, I would imagine like there are very few people that are alive. Willie is one of them, though, but Ozzy supersedes that because country music was huge before Willie Nelson ever picked up a guitar.
Yeah.
But it's the same type of icon status.
Yep.
He started a genre of music
right.
that spawned into a multi-billion dollar industry that is still as big as it ever was and bigger.
Yeah.
And it's him at the forefront of
it. They took that idea that Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple were doing in England in the late 60s and the 70s and that harder rock and completely took it to the left and brought in the elements of occult and witchcraft and drug use and sang about it and wrote about it. And it was that more darker element, if you will, very riff oriented. You know, they're not doing very many acoustic songs like
right.
Zeppelin or any
right.
kind of psychedelic stuff so much like Floyd. Those elements are there, but they were doing their own thing. And now if you just think about in metal today, and I could go 15 deep, but all those different subgenres of metal between thrash and doom and death metal and black metal, it all goes back to Black Sabbath, period.
Yeah.
And it's so genius because, you know, at that time, Zeppelin, they were doing like their Dungeons and Dragons thing and their acoustic numbers. And they just, they had, even though they were all just forces of nature as musicians and they could rock your face off, they also were a little bit cheesy and corny at times.
Yep.
And so for Sabbath to take that formula and turn down the corniness and turn up the evil.
Yeah.
Like, just, it's marketing genius. It's, yes, it's incredible.
And we shouldn't go this whole segment without saying one other thing, and that is talking about the musician that Ozzy was, because you can, Ozzy is unique. When you hear Ozzy sing,
yeah,
it is 100% without question Ozzy.
Yeah.
And he is him, and it's his own style, and it can't be imitated. And so that right there, that talent and the understanding of how to use that, going from when he was so nasally as a young kid to the way that he sang, you know, 3 weeks ago, it's just so him. And all the things around it don't happen if he doesn't have the talent in his body and able to harness that as a singer and as a songwriter with that band, and then as a songwriter later on in his solo career, working with those guitar players and whatever to come up with these things. Those are iconic songs that don't happen without him and his voice as an instrument.
And don't forget, he somehow pulled off being a dumpy frontman.
Yes.
Like, he wasn't like a Adonis rock god strutting around stage. He was a doughy piece of crap.
And I've seen Ozzy, I was trying to look this up, let's just say 10 or 12 times, I really don't know. But he had bits, you know, like, you're always going to get the certain moves, the certain things that he's going to say. He's going to squirt water guns out in the crowd. He's going to throw confetti out there. He's going to get up there and clap. I mean, he's going to do those things. But, like, I want to see Ozzy.
Sure.
Because whether you've seen him one time or, like me, you've seen him the 8th or the 9th or the 10th, he's putting on that show for those people that cut across all that. And so he's going to do Ozzy at the show. And it's wildly entertaining, and he's got his gut hanging over him, and he's sucking down his water bottles, and he's doing whatever. He's reading off the teleprompter, but dude, it's Ozzy. He's there. He is doing it.
Well, our condolences to Geezer Butler and the whole gang today, because Ozzy.
Give me another one.
Tony Iommi.
Bill Ward. Zach Wilde. We'll give it to him, too.
Yeah.
I only took a liking to Geezer Butler because the name is amusing.
It's
awesome.
Geezer wrote a lot of the lyrics for Black Sabbath as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he sure did. Yes.
Was Ozzy instrumental in writing actual melodies, or would he...
Yeah, I think as a singer, you know, was getting in there and starting to feel it out and how they do it, the phrasing and things like that. But yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You think he's in, Lando?
Without question.
All right. Well, if Lando puts him in, the rest of us are putting him
obviously.
In.
Obviously.
R.I.P.
Do the Cowboys put him in?
Ozzy Osbourne. Son of a bitch.
That's next.
The Cowboys. Do they know Ozzy Osbourne next? The ticket.